You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Gavin Butenoff, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us no matter where you are listening. You can call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment as well on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Busy, busy show coming your way today after the 9:30 news. State Senate Minority Leader Dianne Hesselbein will be here. We're going to talk a little bit about the Wisconsin state budget. Will anything get done?
Well, it's a lot thinner budget now.
It is.
Far less to dissent over. Just
now that you took out everything your constituents want, it's pretty small.
The budget, we're done.
We're done, exactly. So we'll talk to Senate Minority Leader, Dianne Hesselbein, coming up around 9:35 in hour number two. Chrissy Noem wants a new plane.
Well, don't we all?
Shouldn't we just give it to her?
Yeah.
We'll talk about that and the big birthday parade that President Trump wants to have in June.
Happy birthday, dear leader.
It's only a couple, 20, 30, 40, $50 million.
Yeah.
We got the money.
Yeah.
So it's nothing to worry about. We will wrap up the show as we always do with this shouldn't be a thing. Today it's the Tono edition, and there's a video element that you're going to want to see.
Oh, you have to see this.
Yeah, you want to check that out. So stick around for the end of the show. Around 10:51, this shouldn't be a thing. The Tono edition is on the way. I wanted to start off, though, with talking about Elon.
Oh, what? Where's he been?
That is a really good question that you asked, Greg Bach. Yeah. What has happened to Elon Musk? We couldn't get away from him. He was everywhere on television leading up to the Wisconsin Supreme Court election.
Yeah.
And since then, he's just kind of gone.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
It's weird because, you know, we're Wisconsin, we're a scrappy bunch.
We are scrappy.
But we're also humble. We're not going to brag. We're not going to boast. But really, did Wisconsin kind of at least put the brakes on Elon's public appearance? He still is the richest man in the world.
Oh, yeah.
He still has the ear of the president. Yep. He still is the shadow president, if you want to call him that. But, I mean, Wisconsin, we're a flyover state. We're Midwest. No one really worries about us. But this scrappy little dairy state here said no to his money and no to his candidate and no to his ways of being for our Supreme Court. And he was like, I got to go. I gotta get out of here.
You hurt my feelings.
You're so mean.
I look at this as the cheddar block that stood in his way.
You really want the cheese wall reference?
I absolutely do. We were the cheddar block. We were the cheddar wall that stopped Elon Musk.
Yeah.
After he shelled out $100 million to get Brad Schimmel on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, and then they were pretty soundly defeated.
Once again, it was a matter of by like 8:15, they're like, well, Susan Crawford is one, and I guess we'll just pack it up for the night, folks. Yeah, and we thought we were going to be here, but
I'm out of here. Bye-bye. Yeah. This article in the Washington Post talks about how Elon has kind of disappeared.
Yeah.
He said yesterday he's done enough political spending.
Yeah, you have.
Elon yesterday said he's done enough political spending, at least for now. Perhaps another sign the world's richest man shifting away from political advocacy to return to his role as a tech evangelist.
I hate that phrase.
The shift has been forecast in his social media account over the past couple of months since he bought Twitter, what used to be Twitter. He's used it pretty much as a bully pulpit on just about everything. And now that he's pulled back, if you follow him on what used to be Twitter, now Elon posts about space travel, electric vehicles, and artificial intelligence while rarely mentioning the 47th president.
Well, I mean, it makes sense. He should be talking about electric vehicles as he owns Tesla, a company whose stock took a massive hit in the middle of all this election talk. I mean, at the top, I'm looking at like even just 6 months ago, the stock for Tesla was $479, and I don't even think that was the highest ever. But by March 10th, It was $222 a share. Now, granted, that's a great stock price.
That's a pretty good price.
But when it goes from nearly 500 to under 250, and your boss, your CEO, the guy in charge of your company that you were invested in, is gallivanting around the country
with a chainsaw,
burning money, carrying a chainsaw, talking about how he's going to gut the government and the country, maybe it's time you get back to where you're at and where you come from, which is just focus on your businesses, bro.
And I have read reports that at least overseas, they can't give away Cybertrucks.
Oh.
There is such a glut of inventory.
Yeah.
That they just can't get rid of
them. Well, I think, first of all, let's just be fair and balanced, trademarked. They're the ugliest cars that I've ever. I mean, DeLoreans were ugly. These said, hey, DeLorean, hold my cocaine, because it was an 80s car. And I personally believe that nobody buys a Cybertruck for its
aesthetics,
or even the conveniences of having an electric car. I think they buy it as a statement. They buy it as a message to say, I bought this because I can. And also, it's a car that starts at about $70,000 to $80,000,
if not. Pricey.
So, and his whole thing was to make electric cars more affordable. So I just believe anyone who owns a Cybertruck is saying, yeah.
Well, again, there were people who bought Cybertrucks before all of this began.
But they were barely on the road at the time.
True.
You barely see them. And now I see them a lot. I saw a hot pink Cybertruck 2 days ago.
Hot pink?
Hot pink. It was a hot mess. But yeah, it does not surprise me that overseas, because one, you've been there, they're not big on big cars.
No.
Their big car is like a station wagon.
Because the roads are much more narrow.
Yeah, and I think they also know that big cars are an American thing, and they don't have that need. They get by with what they have, and it works for them. So it does not shock me at all that Cybertrucks do not sell over there.
This from the Washington Post. Oh, I'm sorry. This one is from the New York Times. We're talking about Elon Musk.
Yeah.
Running into the great block of cheddar when he came to Wisconsin, pretty much assuming that all of his money was going to make it a lock for Brad Schimmel to get on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. That is not what happened.
Not at all.
After the last election, Elon disclosed over $290 million in federal spending. And he was expected to stay a powerful financial player in Republican politics. But again, he's really backed off. The Wisconsin race in the New York Times may have been a turning point. Mr. Musk appears aware his public presence in the race backfired. He has said almost nothing about Brad Schimmel losing.
Mm.
Public polling shows Mr. Musk has grown unpopular with voters. Republicans have even started to try and distance themselves.
I mean, there were stories, granted, I'm not going to quote them or who reported them because, you know, that's going to happen regardless. But like right after the election, you already saw headlines saying Trump is distancing himself from, because this was a massive embarrassment for everyone involved. And it really speaks to those in the president's inner circle who wield a great deal of power, but stay real quiet. They're the ones who you've mentioned the name many times, Russell Vogt.
Yes.
Those are the individuals
you don't see
who are also dismantling our way of life.
Yep.
But you don't hear from, because they know it's best to stay in the shadows.
Well, and that's kind of what I think. I think he really loved the attention.
Yeah.
Initially, you get on a stage in front of 2,000 people and everybody's cheering for you. I can see how that can become something you seek.
People refer to him as a Tony Stark super genius.
Okay, he doesn't actually invent anything.
No, he doesn't.
Or that you point that out. No. He just backs people who invent things,
mm-hmm.
which is great. But again, he's not the inventor.
No.
Musk's image has changed from the Washington Post, from genius Silicon Valley businessman to mega provocateur. The brand damage is real for Tesla. It's been a cloud over the stock. Tesla has become a political symbol, according to some guy who heads the Wedbush Securities. Bullish on Tesla, but criticizing Musk for his neglecting of the company while he was out traveling all over the country.
And what really sucks is that Tesla, you know, as we said, Elon didn't start Tesla. He didn't found it. He's not a founder. He is a listed on their paperwork as a co-founder, but he did not found the company.
Right.
The people who did had a mission. Anyone who starts a mission like that, electric cars, they want to help the environment. They want to get it in the hands of the people. They want to make it accessible. And that was a wonderful mission. And it's been poisoned to the point where I'm sure you've seen this, people driving Teslas with bumper stickers saying, I still think Elon is crazy. So they almost have to distance themselves because of their purchase. And that's too bad because we need electric cars. Yeah. We need those forms of alternative energy and transportation. And he is kind of, I would love to see the sales sheets for companies like Rivian and other EV or like Ford's EV sales.
Sure.
If his behavior is kind of a cloud for all of them, because 2 years ago, Donald Trump hated electric cars. He hated Tesla. He publicly mocked Elon Musk. But open up that bag.
Well, exactly. Open up the cash bag and things change considerably. Yeah. Well, you mentioned, though, about Russell Vogt, who, again, one of the main authors of Project 2025, now the head of Office of Management and Budget in the Trump administration. Elon's not going away.
No.
We're just not going to be able to see him.
No.
That's not necessarily good either.
Yeah.
Right?
He's
going to stay in the background. He's going to continue dozing, whatever he does. Even the Doge has not turned out to be a huge success.
The Doge has been a dramatic and predictable failure. And we don't have the time to get into it, but I've listened to a couple of really deep dives into the Doge saga and how not only is it not saving us money based on the money that has to be spent in the wake of cuts, they're either breaking even or we're losing money. And also, they said $2 trillion. That was the thing. And then immediately, it's going to be $1 trillion. And now they're at like $150 billion, which is not even savings, as I just said, because of everything going into it. It's done nothing. It's done nothing.
And I go back to the whole thing is about waste, fraud, and abuse. Mm-hmm. Fraud is a crime.
Correct.
Fraud is a crime.
Yep.
So if they have been uncovering all of this fraud, then where are the people who are being put on trial for said fraud?
Mm-hmm. And if we're talking—
Or are they just, is Elon disciplining these people in the background that we just don't see it and they're all getting slapped?
Yeah, and that's even wrong as well, because if it's fraud's a crime and they need to be charged and put in front of a judge. But also the other point too is, you know, when we talk about wasteful spending— why is the wasteful spending, if we look at what's being cut, why is it always services, programs, and departments that help the people? We're never looking at military spending.
No, we're going to give them another $1 trillion.
Yep, we always want to give them more money. Never look at them. But let's make sure that someone with who's getting cancer research or getting cancer treatment through research programs, let's cut that because that's wasteful.
Yeah, what fraud. Shiju on the live stream says, I agree, Greg, we do need EVs, just not something that looks like a Minecraft reject.
That's perfect.
We have a break coming up. You can always join us. Give us a call. Send in a text at 855-752-4842. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the Board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park here in Racine, where you can always join us. You can call, you can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Do you have the Civic Media app?
I do.
Calvin, do you have the Civic Media app? He does. You should have the Civic Media app because that's the only way to enter our statewide text to win contest for Brewers tickets.
True. It's very, very true. You can go to your favorite app store of choice, whether it's Google or iTunes or Apple. Apple, there it is. I'm an adult.
Tim Apple, you remember.
Tim Apple. Call Tim Apple. He'll send it to you via snail mail. And you download, search Civic Media and download our app. It's going to be right there at the top. It is absolutely free.
Nice.
And you can, not only can you text us, you can call us through the app. You can listen to our shows and everyone's shows through the app live.
You can pick.
You can pick what stations you want to listen to. You can customize the app how you want. You can also find out news through customizations options as well. It is a very handy dandy app. And from what I understand, I think there's going to be another update coming. We're making it better and better every time. But for the sake of this matter, you go, you download that app. On Friday, we will give you a keyword.
Yes.
That keyword's coming. We give it to you, and you'll have the entire show to text us that word through the Civic Media app. And Jane, what happens after that? They text us the word, and then what?
And then you could be, you will be in the drawing for a 4-pack of Milwaukee Brewers tickets.
Where are those tickets? I imagine if there's a 4-pack, Jane, that those tickets are like, terrible, like level 400 next to the Euchre statue.
No,
even on the roofs looking the other way.
They're club level seats.
But those are the comfiest seats.
They're cushy chairs. You and I went to the game last year and sat in those seats. They're really good seats. So this coming Friday, all across the network, starting with Pat Kreitlow, Mornings with Pat Kreitlow from 6 to 9, Pat will have a keyword for you that you want to text in. You is using the app. Then our show from 9 to 11, Tom Hartman 11 to 2, Todd Alba 2 to 4, Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6. All of us will have a different keyword for you to text in this coming Friday. And then you could pick up that great 4-pack of tickets to see our own Milwaukee Brewers. Mm-hmm. This comes up on Friday. So download the app. You got lots of time.
Absolutely.
We were talking before we went to the break about Elon Musk.
Yeah.
And the being stopped by the Great Cheddar Block. Here in Wisconsin.
The Great Cheddar Wall.
The Great Cheddar Wall. Essentially, after Elon poured in millions and millions and millions of dollars into the Wisconsin Supreme Court race, and then they lost that race, he's kind of gone bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean he's going away on the TV circuit. Yeah, we're not going to be seeing him as much, most likely. That doesn't mean that those hundreds of billions of dollars are just going to sit in the bank, most likely.
Oh, no.
Yeah, no.
He can funnel that to a super PAC in any way, shape, or form, and we're never going to know where that money came from, which goes back to, yes, we should get big money out of politics.
Yeah.
I think most average people agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
It's only, you know, the people who need that money to get elected who would be against that. But he is still out and about. Elon was at the Qatar Economic Forum.
As you do.
As one does. And he was asked, and he took this so well. Here's the question that he was asked by a journalist, Elon Musk. You've talked about $4 billion a day being saved. I think everyone can agree fighting waste and inefficiency in government is a good thing. But if you add that up, it is not going to get to $2 trillion over the lifetime of Doge. He is being asked this at an economic forum. What was Elon's response? First, he said, "I'm sorry." And then he said, quote, "I mean, I feel you're somewhat trapped in the NPC dialogue tree of a traditional journalist."
Wow.
So it's difficult when I'm conversing with someone who's trapped in the dialogue tree of a conventional journalist because it's like talking to a computer, unquote. I didn't even know what NPC was.
Yeah.
It's a non-playable character in a video game.
Yeah. See, that's what we were talking about before, is that people want to assign him this
brilliant,
super genius, thinking on a 3D chess. No, I'm sorry, 4D chess. Elon Musk, you can't handle what he's talking about. But what he does, and what a lot of, I'll say it, stupid people do to try to look smart, is they string a bunch of words together that have a lot of syllables that sound really nice. They're shiny, Jane, mm-hmm. an NPC character in traditional journal. All those words sound great. When really what he says is, you've caught me. You know that it's not going to work. I don't have an answer for
exactly.
you because I don't know what I'm doing, because I didn't study economics and advanced economics, and I've never been a sitting politician in elected form. He is not smart, and this just proves it. Anytime you back him into a corner, he does that Elon Musk thing, and he then insults you for having the temerity
to
say anything to him.
To ask. He then told the journalist that in the context of his perceived restraints on Doge, his group has excelled.
Oh, yes.
DOGE is an advisory group. We're doing the best we can as an advisory group. The progress made thus far as an advisory group is excellent. Okay.
Sure, bro.
Keep telling yourself that. Can we get him a friend? Can we please just find Elon a friend? I think a lot of his problems would go away if the man had a friend.
I have offered up Calvin many times, and Calvin says no every single time. I just don't think anyone wants to. It's too much.
There's got to be somebody out there. Come on.
Jeff Bezos, give him a call.
Go to lunch. Take him to lunch. Yeah. If they had arcades anymore, we could take him out to an arcade and spend a couple hours.
Go to Olive Garden. Tell him it's on me. I'll pay the bill. It's fine. All the soup, salad, and breadsticks you can eat.
Just let us know. Yep. Send it in to Jane Says at civicmedia.us. We have news coming up next. And then when we return, Senate Minority Leader Dianne Hesselbein is going to join us to talk about the Wisconsin budget. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Delighted to welcome our next guest. Wisconsin Senate Minority Leader Dianne Hesselbein is here. Good morning, Senator. How are you?
I'm doing well. Good morning, Jane and Greg. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you so much for joining us. We wanted to talk a little bit about the Wisconsin state budget. After the Republicans got a hold of Governor Evers' suggestions, pretty much all that was left were the words and the. They pretty much cut everything out of the budget. So I guess I'm curious, Senator, where are we right now?
Yeah, well, it's unfortunately where we are. I mean, the governor introduced this budget 91 days ago. We were really excited. We were just starting to make our way through the budget, and the Republicans in the Senate had a press conference saying they were going to take everything out of it already. That was like the first thing they said before they even opened up the budget. And that was disappointing. And then they had these four listening sessions all over the state of Wisconsin. And people came to talk about what was in the governor's budget that they were excited about. And they still decided just last week to throw everything out of that budget, even after people waited hours to testify just for 2 minutes. They'd be waiting for 8 hours to talk for 2 minutes about what they were excited for in the budget, and the Republicans did not care.
We talked about that quite a bit last week because it makes me crazy that they even bother to take this pony show on the road, as you said, for people. There was one woman who listens to us who waited for 9 hours. She waited 9 hours for her 2 minutes, and every report I've seen is that what the Joint Finance Committee heard from folks were about the same three things. It was about health care, it's about child care, and it's about education. These are the important things that Wisconsinites would like to see something get done on. And yet the Republicans are like, yeah, it's la, la, la. Why bother? What are you just sitting there playing Candy Crush?
I'm not sure what they're doing. I don't think they were listening to what the people were saying.
But they don't.
Definitely education was the number one thing that people were talking about.
How do you go back to your constituents then?
I don't know what they're going to do. Like, I don't know how they have listening sessions when they tell everybody we stripped everything out of the governor's budget. We're starting from zero again. And then they're going to be building something up, but we don't know what that is. It's certainly not going to be to the levels of what Governor Evers proposed. And when it comes to education and childcare, funding for our university system, the environment, we know what people in the state of Wisconsin want. And unfortunately, what the Republicans did does not reflect that.
And that's something we talk about all the time is like, you know, not just the bills that are in there for the good of the people, but let's also look at the other side of the coin, which is politics, campaigning, talking, knocking on doors, making them phone calls, trying to get money. If you strip everything out of there, what do you go back to your district and say, like, I fought for nothing? I fought for, and the only way you can spin it is like, I'm not going to vote on this budget. Well, you didn't even give it a chance. As you said, Senator, before they opened it up, they said no. And it seems very, that seems childish to me, almost like we're taking our ball and we're going home. And that doesn't make sense at all.
It doesn't make sense. And now they're going to be, you know, supposedly they're going to have meetings and maybe craft something of a budget. I have no idea what's going to be in there. I don't know what the Republican priorities are. we'll see as we go through the process. I don't know if we're going to have a budget done in time. We are supposed to have the budget done by the end of July. It's my hope that we get that done again, because cities, towns, villages, and school districts are counting on us to get our act together, pass a budget, and hopefully something the governor can sign, and then they can do their work and craft their own budget. So I'm hoping we can get this on time, but it's really a slow start, and it's an unfortunate start this session.
If you're just joining us, Wisconsin State Senate Minority Leader Diane Hesselbein is our guest, and we're talking about the Wisconsin state budget, which is kind of in limbo. We have Cassandra on the live stream who said, that was me. She waited for 9 hours. I said to them, I'm not even going to read what I prepared because it's the same thing that everyone else said, you know what we want. And then they went back and said, yeah, we're not going to give you any of the things that you want. There has been criticism, Senator, that Governor Evers won't talk to the other side, that he's, you know, he's not being nice. I don't know what's the issue with that?
That's not true at all. The Republicans, they had a meeting of, I don't know how long ago, about a few months ago or something, a few weeks ago. Their staffs have been talking, and they have a meeting set up today to talk about maybe trying to figure out, can they find a way forward to move on this budget? So that's happening today. So the Republicans, I don't know who's saying next. It's certainly not true. The Governor Evers definitely wants to meet with everybody who wants to meet with him.
Because I've seen that in reported in several publications saying, it's the governor, he won't sit down and talk to us. And he's not answering our calls.
You know, famously hard to deal with Tony Evers. Just a brick wall. You can't ever get through to that man.
Exactly. He's so accessible.
Senator, one of the things we've also talked about in this show in the past, and this seems like a confluence of events, which it all, like, I would say bubbled up from when new maps were instituted by the Supreme Court of the state. And then you saw, you know, unfortunately for the Democrats, you didn't take control of either house, but there were gains made in seats. And then what we saw was instead of the Republicans saying, all right, well, I mean, kicking and screaming, we have to do some negotiation, some compromise. Instead, what they did was it's a series of, you know, reducing committee membership. So it's super majorities within committees. It's doing things like this, still sitting on money that's for PFAS and education and for
Hospitals.
The hospitals as well. And things that you see as bipartisan issues that your Republican colleagues say, these are bipartisan issues and we want to vote for them and get them through, yet being stopped at every sense as almost a way of punishing you, punishing the governor, and then punishing Wisconsin because they cannot let you win anything. That just seems like their MO now. If they can't be in total control, they're going to make sure that we have nothing to show for it.
Well, and, you know, fair maps, I'm glad you brought up fair maps, because fair maps matter. We went from 11 Senate Democrats last year to 15 now. So it's 15 Senate Democrats to 18 Senate Republicans. And you would think there would be more negotiating happen. There'd be more conversations happening. We'll see. We'll see if the Republicans, I think their goal right now is to try to pass a budget with 17 votes in the Republican caucus. We'll see if we get there, because they have a lot of Republicans in that caucus that really are party of no. Nothing for education, nothing for higher ed, nothing for the environment. And I don't know if they're going to be finding those 17 votes. If not, I'd have an open door policy. I'm hoping they come to me and they see something. Maybe we can craft a budget together that we can help move the state of Wisconsin forward. But I'm not holding my breath.
I did think personally, Senator, that when Governor Evers came out with his budget, some of his monetary requests seemed a little like overshooting, you know, let's start out really high and then we can come down and meet somewhere in the middle. But even that's not even happening there. It just feels like, as Greg said, there is no middle. We can't meet in the middle and therefore we're going to do nothing.
Yeah, I don't think the governor did overshoot his budget. I think he really put out together a practical budget that we could live with. I'll talk about special education funding for it. K-12 education for one. So right now, all the districts around the state, they maybe, if they're lucky, get 30% reimbursement for all their special education funding. That means they have to fund that 70% on their own and really try to make tough decisions in those school districts. Well, those unaccountable private school voucher schools, they get 90% special education funding reimbursement, 90%. So Governor Evers asked for 60. Right? We're not even asking for parity with those, because that really would be expensive and a really hard lift. He asked for 60, and the Republicans right now are balking at that. So it's okay for the 90% for the special education in those private unaccountable schools, but only lucky to get 30 right now. So I think the governor putting 60 out there, I'm hoping we can definitely get 60.
And I think you said something very, very important that I don't think most people appreciate or potentially realize. Voucher schools do not have an oversight. They don't answer to anyone, even as far as curriculum is concerned, correct?
That is correct.
So they can do whatever they want, and they don't even having to come to the legislature and say, here are our results. They don't have to do that either.
No, they don't.
So there's no oversight of schools within the voucher program.
That's true. I think it was a few years ago, there was a school in Milwaukee and the kids went to school on a Monday. I don't want to say what the name was. I can't remember, but they went to school on a Monday. It was closed. It was shuttered. There were gates. It's like, sorry, closed. And overnight, the owners of that school flew to Florida and they just shut the doors. Done. And so all these 90 kids had to go try to figure out where they were going to go. They went to the public schools and only one out of 90 kids passed like an entrance exam, could only pass one thing. Like, they didn't do well in math. They had one kid out of 90 was able to like be comprehensive in like reading or something like that. Not good. So we don't know what's happening in some of those schools.
What is the justification for that? I would love to be in on some of those conversations with the Republican supporters of these schools. How do they justify this lack of accountability, or don't they even bother?
They don't bother.
They don't bother.
I don't think they can.
I mean, I'm looking at the school you're referring to is the Life Skills Academy, and this was 2014.
I thought it was like something.
And it was $2.3 million in taxpayer money was given to that school for them to close their doors. And I know of an example in Racine of a Catholic school that tried to open that had no – that could not get certification from the archdiocese that wanted to teach a pre-Vatican II curriculum to the children. And they didn't pay teachers, and the guy who started it all closed the doors, left, and took all the money. I mean, this is – look, there's a conversation to be had about vouchers. But one thing I think we should all be able to come together, there should be accountability. There should be a board that meets with these schools and says, all right, what is our taxpayer dollars getting
us? What are
we
getting for this?
And not like, oh, sorry, you don't have a school to go to anymore. Sorry, bye-bye.
Exactly. Exactly. They should have to reply something. We should be able to know what they're teaching in those schools and who's teaching and making sure they're all licensed. That's important.
Before you joined us, we were talking about Elon Musk kind of hitting the brick cheddar wall here in Wisconsin. He's kind of disappeared since all of his money did not buy that Supreme Court seat for Brad Schimmel. But you want to find fraud, waste, and abuse. Maybe let's look at the voucher program. That might be a really good place to start. It just seems so... I do not understand. I just don't understand how it's acceptable that we can give all this taxpayer money to people who then do not have to report back. That doesn't make any sense to me.
It doesn't make any sense to me either. I've been fighting this regime for a very long time.
I just have to take a...
Well, and then I think of other programs, departments, and groups who receive taxpayer money, and they have to...
They account for everything.
They account for every penny down to the moment and submit and be and still – and these are groups that will be like, you know, we're trying to help kids. We're trying to educate. We're trying to clean up our rivers. And they'll still get their funding cut because someone will say, it's wasteful. Okay. All right. Make it make sense.
Reading literacy programs for kids, all that stuff. People have to be accountable for what they're doing, what they're teaching, how they're teaching, how many kids that they're seeing. Boys and girls clubs, like everybody has to come back. I was on the audit committee for years and that we would audit everything. So it was important to know what the ambulances were doing, what everything was going on in different departments all over the state.
But special rules for this.
Yeah.
We'll just, we give them special, special carve outs for you. That's all fine. If you're just joining us, Wisconsin Senate Minority Leader Diane Hesselbein is here and we're talking about the budget. Senator, we only have about a minute left. What are the next steps? What happens next in Madison as far as the budget is concerned?
Well, I am hopeful that the Joint Finance Committee will start meeting and actually, you know, vote on some things in the budget. Like I said, we have a duty that we pass a responsible budget by the end of June. Cities, towns, villages, and school districts are counting on us to do our job. I will continue to do my job. And if the Republicans can't get the votes in the Senate, then my door is open and hopefully we can talk to do what we need to do for the state of Wisconsin.
You can always contact your representative. It's so easy. It's myvote.wi.gov. They love to hear from you. Give them a call. Be nice to the people answering the phone. It's not them. Wisconsin Senate Minority Leader Diane Hesselbein, thank you so very, very much for your time. Really appreciate it. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks for having me on. Take care.
Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. We will be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Our thanks again to Wisconsin Senate Minority Leader Diane Hesselbein for taking time out to talk to us about the budget. And we did spend a little time talking about voucher schools and the incredible amount of money that voucher schools get from taxpayers, and yet they're not accountable to anyone for anything.
No, and as you've put it before, and we've been saying now regularly, this is a whole second school system being funded by us. This is not magical money coming from the ground or from the sky.
No.
It is money that comes from my pocket, from your pocket, from everybody's hardworking pockets. And if you want to have any idea on how much is being spent out of our pockets, I will once again link that page, which you can go to your school district and see how much money has been taken from your tax dollars to fund this second school system.
Because it is.
Yes.
It's an entirely second, separate, unaccountable school system. Jim from Brookfield texting in, my guess is that the Republicans go back to their constituents, because I asked the Senator Hesselbein, what do these guys say when they go back to their constituents and they vote against everything? Mm-hmm. So Jim is saying, we fought against wasteful spending. And Jim, I'm sure you're right.
Yeah.
We stopped us from throwing our dollars away. Of course, we didn't get anything done, but we prevented this. And then Jim from Appleton, listening on WGBW in Green Bay, says voucher schooling is bad in its current form. What you are now talking about is the right way to attack them, accountability. And Jim, I wouldn't have a problem with voucher schools again, but I want to see your results.
Yeah.
If you are getting taxpayer dollars, I don't understand why you get to stand under this special magical umbrella and you don't have to come back and say, here are our graduation rates, here are our literacy rates, here's like every other person who gets, every other agency, I should say, that gets taxpayer money has to have some kind of an accounting.
Also, another thing that we don't talk about, because when we talk about accountability, we think about, you know, who are you taking in? What are your school scores? As Senator Hasselbein said, are your teachers accredited? But also, is the student who's receiving the voucher actually not able to afford the schooling? That's a big one.
It is a big one.
Families who can definitely afford it are still getting vouchers, so they're getting free school for an education they could afford to pay for.
Right.
So, yeah, this is and I don't foresee any of our detractors, whether it's on the live stream or the text lines, telling us how we're wrong, but tell us how we're wrong. Why is non-accountability I don't want to argue school vouchers as an entity. That's a bigger discussion. But why is non-accountability an okay thing for people who are so about wasteful spending, fraud, and all of that rigmarole? Why is this one thing absolutely okay?
No problem.
Yeah.
No Why? Problem. It's just fine. And the fact that Senator Hesselbein mentioned that one school district, that one day they just closed their doors and the owners took the money and went to Florida.
$2.3 million.
In our money.
That's called fraud to me.
I would say that would be considered fraud.
Yeah. So once again, make it make sense. And quote unquote, freedom is not an answer. I want some kind of send me an article, send me a survey, send me something that shows that this is the way to do it. But every time we ask this question, it's like they're all going, well, I didn't hear you. What would you say? What'd you say?
What?
I wasn't listening.
What?
I wasn't listening. I was playing Candy Crush. I'm really high level. Like I'm on level like 200. I don't know the game. 205. That's high up.
Oh, that's high.
Ooh.
Like that.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm opening a school. Jane's House of Pain and Politeness, I think we'll try that. And send in that taxpayer money to me. I'm going to start my own school system. We're going to have very selective, requirements and probably five. I think we'll probably have five students. That's what I'm planning on anyway.
Well, okay, so Jane, with this, are you willing to be accountable for like your students, the count of your students, how old they are, they're qualified?
Why would I have to do that?
Well, it's a good idea because we're giving you taxpayer money. So.
But you should just trust me. You should just dress me, Greg.
You're right. What was I thinking? What was I thinking?
Just give me a couple $1 million in taxpayer money. Trust that I will do the right thing.
Would $4 million be good? Is that good?
I think four. I could make it.
To start?
I could fly with $4 million.
Great. All right. Fly Jane's to Florida.
Jane's House of Pain and Politeness coming soon to a school system near you. We're not going to have time to talk about what we had planned on, but this is something very disturbing as well. This from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Emily Pofall with the byline, Waterford track meet investigation reveals racist remarks toward Milwaukee students. This is from a couple of weeks ago, track meet out in Waterford, and the team from Rufus King High School actually left the meet early.
Yep.
For safety.
After they had spoken to the people on the, like the people, like the coaches from who they were competing against, saying, can you help us with this? And they didn't do anything. And Jane, you, I mean, I think a lot of people just assume, well, those terrible kids, those awful, awful kids.
It was their parents.
It was their parents too.
It was their parents.
Yep. Adults.
We wonder where kids get this stuff from.
Yeah.
They learn it at home.
Yeah. So,
we will include this story in the show notes. The superintendent, I believe, of the Waterford schools did apologize to Rufus King. And apparently they're going to have some kind of meeting with the student body. We'll see what happens from that. You need to sit down and talk to the parents.
Yeah.
That's where it all starts. Yeah. We have news coming up next. And then when we return, Christy wants a new plane and Donald wants a parade. That's all coming up. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.